Welcome back to Small Biz Survival. This is Becky McRae, and today I'm talking with Rick Mon. Say hello, Rick.
Hello.
Very good. Rick, you are based where? Where's your home base?
Hudson, Wisconsin.
But you
And
grew up
that's,
in a small town.
yes, I did. I grew up in a small town called Spring Valley, Wisconsin. basically, it's about a half hour east of the St. Paul area. So today, though, Hudson's just outside the Minneapolis metropolitan area. Some people think of it as a suburb or a bedroom community, but it definitely has a different taste than some of the suburbs around Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Okay, so we give you full small town props there for growing up in a small town. I wanted to talk to you specifically about building a network. You have built quite a network in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and tell us how you built that and how you think that has changed over the years in terms of how you build a network.
Well, it's interesting because the network I've developed in pursuing a lot of my technology work years ago and social media today is been mostly online. And I think that's where the it's really different from years ago when I was in doing information technology work, where you actually did a lot more in-person networking and had to go to different places and industry events and such to meet people. And today it's so much easier for everybody to be able to reach out and find people with similar interests or disciplines and really get to know them better, get to understand what they're doing, what their personalities are, where their interests lay, and where the synergies in what I do and what they do. Tools on social tools online seem to make that much, much easier.
Definitely. In the past, if you wanted to work outside your area from a small town, you had to go physically there and connect with those people. Now we have the opportunity to use some of these tools and connect with people all over. Tell me some stories about connecting with folks nationally or how you've helped to build your network outside of your hometown area.
Well, it really has been an evolution, discovering new tools and keep expanding, I hate to say my presence on them, but that's what it is. You find the areas where people are talking and doing different things and start leveraging them. So as I've kind of moved out of the technology world into social media and PR work, it's been beneficial to use all these new tools, of course, but it's not any different for folks across the country, in any part of the country, to be able to find these same resources, whether they're on Facebook or LinkedIn, and Twitter as well, to find these people with have similar interests. And I guess what's really worked for me was as I've gotten on one network or one social network, if you will, to connect up with one or two people I already knew, but then they knew five or six people I didn't. And so as I'm talking with them and then they're talking with people on the other side of the country, all of a sudden I'm like, well, gosh, now I've met this fellow over in Atlanta. That's great. I'll talk to him now. And then you find out he's got three or four friends. And one of the important connections there will be a gal out in Oklahoma, as it were. And from there you've got the connections just grow organically. And it just what it really does, I think, is it accelerates our ability to meet people and get to know them pretty well.
It's like going to an in-person event and being introduced by someone. It's like walking in with someone who knows everyone in the room and building
Absolutely.
off of their connections.
Absolutely. And I think some of the tools kind of provide that introduction thing where traditionally you'd wait to be introduced formally. It's like, here's my friend Rick, he's from Minneapolis, blah, blah, blah. And then you'd continue from there. Whereas today, with these tools, just by, saying, connecting through somebody. So if I connected through Becky McRae to another person, they'd already be, familiar with you and the nature of the tool, that people will find you through the tool. That those introductions aren't necessary, the formal introductions aren't necessary. So I think it's assumed that you're just going to meet people.
especially tools like Twitter that are very informal, where you can just introduce yourself and go from there. Hey, I saw that Becky McRae was talking to you, and off they go.
There you go. That's a great way to put it. Is, you know, that it these tools are much more informal, and I think people do, once they get comfortable using them, you know, they do start to assume, okay, I can connect with this person because my friend's talking to them, and you have some basis for forming a relationship or furthering a discussion.
Let's take that a little further and talk about going to in-person events. And while these online tools would give us a starting point, it seems to me in the events that I have gone to in person, there is no replacement for going in person and attending events offline, meeting people face to face, and making that kind of connection. Do you agree with that statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The in-person events will never go away, and their value actually increases because a number of times I've gone to events, and actually this is when we first met in person at SobCon, I think in 2008. We had known each other online for some time. And what happens, you know, and there were a number of other people there too that we were able to connect with. And what's interesting is you converse with people for a couple of months or a couple of years, and then you finally get a chance to meet them in person. You've already got a certain level of relationship with them. And so you don't have to start at the beginning to build that relationship. You just pick up where you left off online. Only now you've got the body language. You can see, you know, their facial expressions. You can talk to them. You know, just it formalizes and reaffirms that connection even better.
I agree. In fact, you can also meet people that you didn't know and then build relationships then online. I met Des Walsh at Blog World Expo in 08. And then since then, we have gotten to be good friends online, although we were not connected previously. We found that we had a lot of shared background, even though he's from Australia and I'm from Oklahoma. We found that there were a lot of rural similarities across the continents. And then that relationship has blossomed online. So there's no replacement for going in person and connecting with people, as well as
Absolutely.
adding that with your online tools.
Absolutely. There is those kind of types of things are indispensable.
Let's talk about being from not the top tier cities. You are based in Minneapolis-St. Paul. That's where the primary part of your work is. That's where you're in the big social media breakfast and where you've made a name for yourself. But you're not in Boston. You're not in New York. You are not in San Francisco or in Silicon Valley.
Absolutely.
And we're all very glad that we are here where we are. But I think there are some parallels between being in one of those kind of cities and what we go through in small towns. I think that we have a lot of shared perspective on how the technology world perceives itself, you know, from the kind of closed enclaves of Boston and some of the other towns that are growing up and getting a name for themselves. Like Austin is now a very huge center and well respected. Boulder is starting to get that kind of reputation. Do you feel like there are some similarities in that?
I do. I obviously it's still really different because of the number of resources in even a small city. Let's face it, Minneapolis-St. Paul is still flyover country for you know folks on either coast. You know some of the high points in between you know LA and New York are Dallas and Chicago, and not many other places get mentioned. So, you know, we struggle with a lot of things, you know, participating in those types of conversations, or more specifically, it is a challenge to be noticed for being innovative or doing really interesting things. And I think you had mentioned before that Austin is making a name it for itself, especially in like the media side and arts, but also with a bunch of other things through South by Southwest. I know Denver is kind of becoming, and Boulder specifically, becoming more of a interest for some of these social things and technology related items. And Omaha is another place that's really taking off as a technical center. And it surprises me as well because I didn't think there was as many technology companies in these areas as there are. And Minneapolis is no different, but we just don't know how to tell our story well enough to make it interesting for people to come to the cold, snowy north. So it's a challenge all around, but I at the same time, you know, we have every opportunity that the rest of those folks do in, say, California and Boston, to be able to connect in and talk to you know, the knowledge experts and learn from them. So I think there are some parallels, but definitely to build business locally, I guess even a small city has a lot more resources available to it. And that's what I'm kind of counting on here in Minneapolis.
Well, Ed, let's talk about your new venture. You have a whole new business going on. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those scary but exciting things. I'm just starting out as a freelance social media strategist and education training trainer, I should say. That's really part of the focus, is really providing training services on social media tools, and helping businesses get up to speed on how to use those internally. So it's really kind of fun. And that's where having this a larger audience in Minneapolis, St. Paul, to be able to really go after that market. I've got a lot of connections in town locally as I do nationally. But that's, I guess, what makes the difference between small town and a small city, is you do have a larger number of those resources. It's just I'm connecting with them in the same way I would if I was back in my hometown of Spring Valley, Wisconsin. I get in there physically, and we meet every month. We like to meet people. The face-to-face conversations and relationships really make a difference, because those are the people who are turning around and saying, "Hey, I know this guy Rick who could help you with whatever." So it's an important piece to maintain, whether, you know, we're in a small town or a big city, I think.
So you have a kind of a specific target that you're working with, that you're leveraging a lot of your past experience working with larger corporations. And I really like the behind the firewall idea. Explain what that's about.
Absolutely. Behind the firewall is the idea that we're taking some of these social concepts and challenges of how we work, or these opportunities, rather, of how we work online, and bringing them inside a company, or what's called behind the firewall, as most companies have a firewall that protects it from viruses and attacks and that kind of thing. And so they have their own personal network, and that's what we're trying to do, is take something like Twitter and talk about how we use it behind the firewall, and how inside this company they could leverage from building these same kinds of relationships and communities. So just like, you know, you've got a bowling league, a company bowling league, or a company golf team, you could expand that, you know, pick another topic. It could be quilting. And then all of a sudden people, you know, have another way of finding each other to talk about these different things. And I think it brings another layer of, you know, it builds another layer on the relationship that people have at work. Makes it more personable. There's more things to talk about. You can really understand how the workforce and the company works together. So it gives everybody another opportunity to become more personable in some of these larger organizations that they just feel like they're a cog in the wheel.
Okay. Well, that makes good sense. I mean, there's a lot of larger employers based in small towns, and they still have these same challenges of how do we try to use these tools to promote our business. And it seems to me that you've hit on the right way to go about it, which is the least threatening way to start on it, which is let's start on a social level. And then we'll go to how do we turn this around and reach out to the wider world and think about reaching customers.
Exactly. I mean, there's the customer aspect as a whole. It's another piece, and it gets into, you know, marketing and the public relations. And I guess maybe it's part of having worked in a number of large organizations and feeling, you know, having that feeling of insignificance, but not realizing how much of an important piece we all play in the jobs we do. And I just think, and I've shared this with this idea with a lot of people in you know, some of these smaller or larger organizations. They want to do the same things. They want to make the, you know, the employee base really feel engaged and participating, rather than just, you know, doing their accounting work or doing the shipping work or whatever. And there's more dynamic to it. Another component that's interesting about this is take a internal blogging, for example. If we have people doing internal blogging, and they talk about how they came up with a new way. Here's a better way to do this shipping priority, or here's a better way to do this accounting function. And that knowledge then is captured by the blogs and can be shared with other employees. So you've got another way to do knowledge transfer from one employee to another. So there's a lot of interest in how to make that an accepted component of working today.
Yeah. Well, and I'm trying to think of some small town parallels there. If you're in a really small business, then that kind of a tool becomes kind of a less threatening way to convey data, that you're not having to constantly stand there and lean over someone's shoulder and go, no, that's not right. Here, wait, let me show you how you do it.
Exactly.
And maybe capturing that information online is a little less intimidating than to expect them to either digest a big instruction book, or in most small businesses, there is no instruction book. It's just all in your head. And so by using blogging to try to capture that, you can build some of that information up so that it's available the next time you bring someone new in to start working on those tasks. It's a great tool for trying to work with delegation.
Absolutely. You gave me an idea too. You know, years ago, my parents had owned a cafe when we lived out in Spring Valley. And as we bring in a new cook or a waitress or something, how do you, I think back on how we shared, how things were done. Because there wasn't any book, right? It was, this is just how it's done. This is how you prep ham sandwiches or whatever. So that is kind of an interesting idea, is how do you share that for those two or three person businesses? There's no need to do extensive documentation, and it needs a much more informal and personal touch.
Yeah, I think this is a useful, you can tell I'm scribbling right now. There's a new blog post coming because we will be talking about this later. Rick, thanks so much for taking time to talk with me today. Tell folks where they can find you.
Absolutely. You can find me online at rickmahn.com. That's rickmahn.com. You can also find me on Twitter. I go by Rick Mahn, same first and last name on Twitter. So
that's a good plan. Have a good brand.
All right. Keep it simple is my motto.
All right. I like it. Rick, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Becky.
Bye-bye.